Welcome to you all. It's great to be here, and I'm really excited that God is going to come and meet us in a special way this morning. So I really encourage you to open your hearts to what God wants to do and come expectantly as we gather here today. I want to just say a particular warm welcome if you are new here and this is your first time or your second time. We really love having visitors do stay for coffee and introduce yourself to us afterwards just enjoy and join in with whatever you want to join in with. Feel really at home. Just a few notices as we begin. This is now the second Sunday in Lent, and as I was doing Lectio this morning, I was reminded that in Lent, where we deny ourselves, on the Sundays we particularly come and celebrate. So actually this is a time to not just be dismal in Lent, but to come and celebrate together, ready in preparation for that big celebration we're going to have on Easter Sunday. So our Lent programme, we had a fantastic first Monday session last Monday. I think there were 57 people here. We had to go and do extra photocopying twice. So tomorrow's session, 7 till 8, in here, around the campfire with Jesus, we're going to be doing Simply Pursuing Jesus in Silence, and the waiting room team are going to come and model a waiting room. Now, if you've never been to the waiting room and the thought of sitting in silence terrifies you, have courage and come along. The way the waiting room works is that actually you can come and go at any time. So if you come for 10 minutes and think, that's all I can cope with, that's absolutely fine. But just come and dwell with God, and God may surprise you. And if you've had a week like mine, actually the thought of sitting in silence for an hour is really appealing. So come and join us tomorrow night here. We've also got our next men's breakfast on Saturday, Calling All Men. And I want to really encourage you, why don't you bring a friend? We've got a talk from a guy called Nick Houghton. And the talk is called Not Quite What I Was Planning. So who knows what he is planning? Who knows what he's not quite going to talk about? But that will be great. 8:30 at Wetherspoons as normal. Do come and join us, men. And then something which I particularly want to highlight that's happening in a fortnight's time is this guy, Mark Mellowish, who I'm having lunch with tomorrow, who is a former New Wine leader and is now the Diocese Mission Enabler in Hereford Diocese, and a really great guy. He's going to be coming and speaking at our evening service at the 6 on Sunday the 10th of March. We're particularly opening this up to other churches to come. So if you know people in other churches, please do encourage them to come and join us on that evening. And it'll be a time of worship, of ministry, and he's going to be speaking on pursuing the presence of God. So I really encourage you to put that date in your diary and invite others. It'll be great if we can have a full church for that. Today we're going to be continuing our series in 2 Corinthians, which really is, you know, for many of us, having a significant impact, and for some, I would say it's being life-changing. So we're going to look at what I think is the greatest passage in all of 2 Corinthians today. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and Nigel's going to be speaking on that later, which just, you could preach about 25 sermons on this passage. We're only going to get one this morning, but we will get a different one tonight, because actually Nathan, our new youth minister, is going to be preaching for the first time tonight. So there's an extra incentive to come tonight as well. No pressure, Nathan. As we gather here today, I want us first just to think of and pray for our other churches in our team. Because All Saints this morning are meeting for the first time in the Malvern Wells Village Hall. As All Saints is well on, the work on Megan's Kitchen has well started. So they're meeting in the Village Hall right now. They'll be halfway through. St Mary's too are meeting over in Pickersley too. So why don't we, just as we begin, let's just remember our team, bless our team, and pray for them as well as us. So Father God, we thank you for what you are doing in uniting us as team again in this place. And we particularly pray for All Saints this morning as they gather in the Village Hall, that you will be so clearly present there right in the middle of their community. And we pray that as they meet there in the next few weeks, that actually new people will come who've never been to All Saints before, because it's at the Village Hall, and you'll do exciting and surprising things beyond what we could imagine. And we pray too for St Mary's meeting over in Pickersley. We thank you for them. We thank you for their faithful service. We thank you for the excitement of what's in store about, you know, doing mission together in this team. And we bless them today, and particularly Chris, the ALM there, as she leads them in the service today. And as we come here now, would you meet us? Would you encourage us? Would you challenge us? Would you shape us? Would you lead us in worship of you? In the name of Jesus. Amen. So let's stand and say these opening words, declaring why we've come. We've come to worship God, who loved us before we were yet born, who knows us even better than we know ourselves, whose presence never leaves us, and whose love for us never ceases. This is our God. Let us worship together.
Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. And Lord Jesus, you are our way maker. You are our miracle worker. You are our light in the darkness. And we thank you and we praise you. Amen. Now do be seated. Children, if you want to stay at the front, you can do, because I'm going to need the help of one or two of you, possibly in a moment. So do put the instruments down and have a sit down. That's great. Now, the adults a bit later are going to be talking about an interesting word. They're going to be talking about something called an ambassador. Now, Nigel is going to tell us all about what an ambassador is later. Yeah, do you know? Go on then. Oh, you have ambassadors at your school. And they represent the school, do they? Is that what they do? They represent the school. Fantastic. Great. Oh, well, that's brilliant, having ambassadors. There are lots of different types of ambassadors. Sometimes you can represent your school, but sometimes what ambassadors do is that actually they go overseas to represent the country that they come from. So you might have the British ambassador going over to America and representing Britain and representing the Prime Minister and the King in America. And the Bible tells us that we're called to be ambassadors for Jesus. We're called to represent God in different places. For you guys, a lot of you at the moment, most of you at the moment, actually you can go represent God in your schools. Some of the grown-ups can represent God in our workplaces or in our families or in our golf clubs or in our Pilates classes or whatever. In the Beacon Camera Club, as there are a few members from here now. But sometimes people actually go overseas to represent Jesus. And actually right now we've got at least two members of our congregation who are overseas representing Jesus. One of them is our fantastic treasurer, Andy Limer, I found out, who's in Nepal at the moment. When he sent me an email at 1:30 in the morning and I met Lorna in Aldi yesterday, I said, Lorna, tell your husband off for sending me emails at 1:30 in the morning. And he said, it's okay, because he's in Nepal and they're 5.5 hours ahead of us. So that was 7 o'clock in the morning. But he's there because he's the finance director or treasurer for a mission organization called Inter Nepal Fellowship, and he's going around seeing some missionaries and doing some work for that this week. And at the moment he's in a place called Pokhara, and you know, I've been to Pokhara and it's the place where I was the most ill I've ever been. And if we just say to the adults, it comes when it comes out both ends at the same time, they'll know what I mean. But there's another person, actually in our church, who actually oversees too as an ambassador for Jesus, and a young person. Can anybody tell me who that is at the moment? Sophie. And Sophie is in a place called Cambodia. And if you look at the map there, you've got India, big India on the left, and you've got China up the top, and the green one is Cambodia, and that's where Cambodia is. And I've been in touch with Sophie this week, and Sophie sent us a message. So here's a little message from our ambassador in Cambodia.
Hi everyone, Dave's asked me to do a quick video about what I've been up to the last few weeks. So last week was camp week, which is really fun. It's kind of a week off timetable for the kids to hear some Bible stories, do fun activities, lots of water sports because it's so hot. And the older years actually go away and stay in kind of retreats. So yeah, it was really fun. I loved it. It was such a nice time to get to know the kids better. But normally I'll be in the classroom doing one-on-one lessons in ARC, so additional needs and support. Yeah, it's really fun. I feel like I've got to know a handful of students really, really well. And they're so lovely, and just spending time with them and going through the lesson slowly and in a creative way. But yeah, it's been so much fun. I guess God has really taught me how mission can look so differently. I think before I came, I had a very clear idea of this is how it looks and this is how it's done. But actually out here, there's so many different NGOs, and to see how they all work in different ways and learn and They all have different styles. It's been really interesting, and I feel like, yeah, my idea of mission has just broadened a lot more now. Yeah, I'd love for you to be praying for the kids. At the Hope, they're so sweet, and I think often people just think of the work their families are doing, or the kind of the NGO stuff, but I think these kids are also so important to be praying for, because they need the gospel as well. And yeah, I guess that it wouldn't just be their parents' faith, but their own faith is so important. So yeah, please be praying for them, and see you soon.
So I thought what we would do is we'll pray for Sophie now, and then what we're going to do is we're going to send her a video message back. Is that okay? And I'm hoping one of the young people might come and just say a little thing that we can then record all of us and send a message back. But we're going to pray, first of all, for Sophie. So shall we pray for? Let's put our hands together. And let's just remember that we're praying to God. And that even though Sophie is thousands of miles away, that actually these prayers are going to make a difference to her. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you for Sophie. We thank you that she's having an amazing time out there in Cambodia, serving you in the schools that she's at with those children that she's at. Thank you that she's learning so much about you and about what mission is all about. And we pray that in these remaining weeks that she is there, that you will bless her, encourage her. We particularly pray for the children that she's working with, that she will have the opportunity to share something of you or the good news of Jesus that we're going to be talking about this morning with them. And that she'll see you transforming their lives. So we bless her, and we bless her family who are left behind here. That you would bless them while she's away too. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So have I got a young person who you might come up to the stage and just let me video saying, "Hi Sophie, we've been praying for you at St. Andrew's." And then we'll pan to everybody else. And everybody can wave, and then I'll send it to on WhatsApp right now. Is there anyone who would be up for that? Elizabeth, would you come and do it? Elizabeth, fantastic. So I'm just going to get my camera set up. So if I come down here, if you come right up here, Elizabeth, yeah? So can you say, "Hi, Sophie, we've been praying for you." Can you say that when I video you? And then I'll video everybody else in the background, and then we'll send it to Sophie right now. Right, if you stand there, and then I can see as many people in as possible. So, are you ready? Go. That was, "Hi Sophie, we've been praying for you," and this is all of St. Andrew's going to say hello. And the children too. And we've just shown you a video there. Great. Fantastic. While we sing... No, while the children go out, I'm going to send it to her. So, children, we're going to pray for you now. And let's pray. Lord, I thank you for our children and our young people here. We thank you so much for them. And we pray blessing on them as they go to their groups this morning. We just think of Sophie, how she's grown up through many of these groups and has served in these groups too. And we pray that these children, these young people, will grow in the faith just like Sophie has. And maybe one day they'll be sent to be ambassadors in different places for you as well. So bless them and their leaders this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Great. Off you go to your groups, everybody. And if you are here for the first time, we have a weekly mailing which you can access by swiping that, or whatever you do, scanning that QR code, getting online, connecting with us. Why don't you turn around and just say hello to somebody nearby you while I send a message to Sophie? Great, the message is gone. I feel like Michael McIntyre doing "Send to All." We're going to just focus on God, particularly now. And the last verse of our reading today says this: "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You know, that verse talks about the fact that actually what we often talk about, the great exchange, which Nigel will be speaking of later, that on the cross Jesus took our sin. Jesus, who had no sin, took our sin that we might be made right and as if we'd never sinned, like Jesus. And as we come to confess now where we haven't always lived in Jesus' way, we come to confess with confidence and gratitude. Confidence that actually whatever we've done, whatever our life story is, however we've messed up, that Jesus welcomes us with open arms and says, you're welcome, you're forgiven, come home. And gratitude because actually him saying that cost him his life on the cross. So we don't say this lightly. We come and with great gratitude and great thanks come and find our freedom in the fact that we can be forgiven children. So just in a moment, let's just think of what we have done this last week, which we want to say sorry to God for, where we've not lived in his way. And just specifically confess whatever you need to confess before God. And let's say together, merciful Lord, you know our struggle to serve you when sin spoils our lives and overshadows our hearts. Come to our aid and turn us back to you again through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And may the God of love and power forgive you and free you from your sins. May he heal and strengthen you by his Spirit and raise you to new life in Christ. Amen. And just before we sing again, I'm going to read our Lent prayer, which is on the back of our Lent cards. If you haven't got one of these cards, do pick one up on the way out. If you've got the card with you, you can say it with me. Dear Lord Jesus, as we draw aside to listen during this season of Lent, will you teach us to honour you with our sacrifice? Will you teach us how to dwell in your love and resurrection power? Will you teach us the way of obedience? Will you help us lay down old and destructive yokes and take up your easy yoke and learn from you? Will you show us how to rejoice daily and to share life in all its fullness with those you bring before us? Will you help us to simply pursue you above all else? Lord, who conquered death, we acknowledge our complete dependence on you. Help us to align our hearts with yours and to recognize the sound of your voice. Amen. Let's stand and continue to worship in song.
You're here.
Do take a seat. There's obviously something wrong because it went up on Monday at the waiter at the Lent course as well. It's the new enemy's attack for stopping us worshipping. But there is no fire. Hopefully Nick will manage it. Just going to have to over. It did this again on Monday. Just, unless Nick tells us there's a fire, we're staying. Don't record that in case there is. I've just had a message back from Sophie, who says, "Oh my goodness. So nice to see everyone from home and really appreciate all the support and prayers. The church family is amazing and I can't wait to see you all again. Sending love to you all." So, Tristan's going to come and lead us in prayer.
It's going to be fun this morning, isn't it? So, as Dave's already said, the reading... I'm just going to carry on. The reading this morning... talks about our role as Christ's ambassadors in the world. And as ambassadors, our task is to shine God's light into the world and to work towards the goal of reconciliation between God and the world. And one of the ways we're called to do that is through intercessory prayer, to pray for kings and all in authority, as Paul said to Timothy, to pray for those who oppose us, to pray for the church, that God would be glorified throughout the whole world. So with that aim in mind, let's pray. Father God, global conflicts and wars are constantly in the news, and we can so easily become indifferent to reports of suffering and death. Give us your heart of compassion, Lord. Help us to see these wars as you see them, not merely as bitter enemies carrying out inevitable battles, but as brothers and sisters causing each other pain and suffering. Lord, we feel helpless when we look at the scale of the suffering in places like Ukraine, the Middle East, Sudan and Myanmar. Father God, we cry out to you to intervene and to bring an end to these horrific wars. We pray for the leaders of warring nations, for military leaders, for governments like ours trying to broker peace. Lord, shape their hearts to lean towards you. Reconcile them to you so that they can reconcile opposing armies with one another. We pray for all the individuals and organizations who bring aid to those who need it in war zones. Lord, work through their hands, whether they know you or not, to bring your love and compassion where it's most needed. We pray for their protection as they carry out their dangerous jobs. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for the Church of England General Synod as they meet this weekend and into the start of the week. We thank you for all those participating in the various discussions and debates and ask that you give them your grace in all that they do this weekend. Your church feels so fragile right now, and we pray particularly for the discussion starting tomorrow afternoon around living in love and faith and the need for reconciliation between those who hold opposing views. Father, we ask that General Synod itself would model what it looks like to live in peace with everyone, as it says in Romans. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
And Lord, we pray for our own church congregation. We thank you so much for the way in which all three churches in the team, St Andrew's, All Saints and St Mary's, are now working together to bring your kingdom in our parishes. We pray for the church leadership as it adjusts to this new approach and ask that you give them wisdom and patience as they continue to develop the leadership structure needed as we grow. We pray particularly for those leaders attending the New Wine Leaders Conference this week. We pray for their protection as they travel and that this week will be a time of refreshing, recharging and re-envisioning. We pray that each of them will have an amazing encounter with you this week, Father. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And now in a few moments of quiet, hopefully, bring to God those things on your own hearts, whether that might be issues in the news or specific individuals you'd like to pray for. And now let's join in the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Just in case.
To look at your church Bibles on page 1161 as we read from 2 Corinthians. I'm starting this morning in chapter 5 and verse 11 and carrying on through to chapter 6 verse 2. The ministry of reconciliation. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of the mind, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, and the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though we were making this appeal. He was making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain, for he says, "In the time of my favour I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favour. Now is the day of salvation." This is the word of the Lord.
Come on, Nigel, let's pray. Lord, we just, in all the disruption of this morning, we pray now that you would still our hearts and quieten the fire alarm, unless there really is a fire. And just allow us to focus on you again, and that nothing would distract us from this message that you want to communicate today. So just pray anointing on Nigel now. And will you open our ears and open our hearts for you to encounter us afresh. Amen.
Hello, everyone. It's just about the most spectacular beginning to my sermon, I think, hearing the alarms going off. Anyway, I shall not be put off. So, ambassadors. Obviously, David said a few things about an ambassador. When I read the passage for the first time after hearing that I'd been allocated this, the phrase that leapt off from the page was indeed verse 20, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors." And so it got me thinking about ambassadors and what my images and thoughts are of that. You know, what does an ambassador do? I found it interesting, Dave, that you mentioned the ambassador to the to a USA, which I think is the most important ambassadorship there are. If you go on the internet and look at all the ambassadors to America, you find that virtually all of them carry either a knighthood or a damehood. So if any of you are interested in becoming an ambassador for Britain, that's the job to get. Anyway, my image, though, of an ambassador started off with this one here, hobnobbing with the great and the famous and the rich, you know, having tea parties or drinks parties and chatting and trying to get to know people and saying the right words. Is that sufficient for us to get an understanding of an ambassadorship? Well, I thought there must be a lot more to that, so I thought let's go and have a look on the internet and see what an ambassador does. And I have to admit, I was really disappointed with the search, because I was thinking I'd find some glorious stories to tell you about ambassadors, and there are one or two of them, but actually the word ambassador has been hijacked, because when you search for ambassador, That's what you come up with. That is the dominant thought. The influencer on TikTok or YouTube, they are now called brand ambassadors. And that is the most important thing about ambassadorship, so the internet seems to suggest. Of course, what do influencers do? Well, brands sort of like piggyback onto them, and it's all about the brand. And so I had a student who was a brand ambassador because they started picking up a huge following on YouTube. And they get all sorts of stuff given to them for free, which everyone gets so excited about. Of course, the point about that is they then use it, and then in their YouTube videos they talk about how wonderful this stuff is. And they keep sort of like doing that, and you go out and buy it. It's all about the brand. And I thought, well, that's got really nothing to do with Jesus. And, of course, the thing about being an influencer is if you drop out your influence, people stop following you, then the brand abandons you pretty swiftly. That is not the image that we want. So then I thought, right, there's got to be something better. Let's have a look at the original meaning of ambassador in the times that the New Testament was written. And, of course, ambassadors reported to the emperor, the sovereign of Rome. And, of course, if you were an ambassador to the emperor, you spoke his message, you represented the emperor, you had his authority to go and talk terms of peace with whoever you went to visit. That's beginning to get us thinking a little bit about ambassadorship for Christ. Of course, we can't push that too far, because if you disobeyed the ambassador, then the emperor was always willing to send a bunch of soldiers, a legion or two out, to make sure you got the message. But nevertheless, speaking the message of the emperor, representing him and carrying authority are parts of the deals when we come to being ambassadors for Christ. And in this passage, which I found sort of loaded with features about what an ambassador does for Jesus, I picked out three. And the first one is that an ambassador is convinced by the gospel. In fact, Paul uses that phrase himself in verse 14. He says, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all." Paul was convinced as an ambassador about Jesus' death. And so what I'd like us to do is to look through some of the pointers about the gospel that he presents. And I'm glad Dave said this was one of his favourite passages in the book, because it is one of the most important sections in the Bible to help us understand what Jesus did for us. We're going to start with verse 21. I'll read it and then we're going to break it down phrase by phrase. Verse 21, "God made him," that is of course Jesus, "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." So the first part of this, God made him who had no sin. Paul was affirming here the importance that Jesus was perfect. Without sin, it's an essential part of the gospel. You see, if Jesus was actually a sinner himself, he could not have taken the place of sinners. Let me try and illustrate. Let's start with my life. I know what I am. I know my history. I know my story. I know my influences. And I know that when it comes to sin and sinfulness, I am guilty. I carry the burden. There are times in my life where I know what I should do. I know I am capable of great acts of love, but I also know the pull of sin, the selfishness, the egocentric nature of my life that wants to put me first and forget what God says is best, and forget the benefit that I should be bringing to those that I know and love around me. I am guilty. And I need to get free of that guilt. It's a problem that we all face. So who am I going to turn to clear away my guilt? Well, I guess the rector is the best person to choose. So I could turn to Dave and say, can you get rid of the guilt for my sin? But of course, Dave can't do that. He does an amazing number of things really well, but he can't take my guilt away because he has exactly the same problem that I do, that he's guilty too. Now, I could look around you here and see if there's anyone suitable, but hey, guess what? No one is, except Jesus. Jesus was perfect without any sin. Now, of course, there are some people who say, well, okay, you've got the account of Jesus in the Gospels, but what about his earlier life? What about him as a child? We only get little snippets about that. And it's a good question. But I find personally great comfort in the fact that there are two eyewitnesses to what Jesus was like as a child. First of all, his mother, Mary, and the Bible teaches us that she treasured all the things that she saw in her own heart. But I suppose you could say that mums don't know everything about their sons. But there is one in the New Testament who did know and would remember, and that is the younger brother. You know, younger brothers don't always get on with their elder brother. The younger brother we're referring to here is James. And he is a really important character in the New Testament. For James became the leader of the Jerusalem church for what people think were about 25 to 30 years. He would have known Jesus from the moment that he was able to sort of think and work through things, and yet he became this pillar of faith in the church. I love the fact that the book of James, which he wrote, starts off with him addressing Jesus as the Lord Jesus. This isn't my brother over here. He is the Lord Jesus. But whenever there were issues that had to be sorted out in the New Testament, issues of doctrine or practice, what did people do? They all went back to Jerusalem and they had their council in Jerusalem. And in Acts 21, Paul goes back and speaks personally to James to iron out a few issues on the gospel. But in all those exchanges, never once is the issue about Jesus' perfectness ever raised or ever in doubt. And I find great comfort in that, that James knew his brother, and his brother was sinless and therefore able to carry the burden of our sin. So God made him who had no sin. The gospel is about the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. So God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. Of course, this phrase echoes Isaiah 53 verse 6. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has gone to their own way, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity or the sin of us all. Of course, words written, I don't know, 700 years before the coming of Christ. We were guilty, we were sinners, we were full of sin, and God put the guilt from us, put our sin onto Jesus, his willing son. Remember the words of Jesus, "Not my will, but yours," he said. And so Jesus went to the cross on our behalf, carrying our guilt, carrying our shame. And then we come to the great exchange that Dave mentioned earlier here. For the verse goes, if I can find it here, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, for you and me, that so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We are now the righteousness of God. We are right with God. In 2 Corinthians 3 verse 9, Paul helps us understand this by making a contrast between what the law does to us when we read it and then what Jesus is doing to us. He writes, if the ministry that brought condemnation, so the law brings condemnation, points the finger and says, you are in the wrong, you are guilty, and I say yes, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? Paul counterpoints condemnation with righteousness. And most people see that as saying that means we are pardoned. We are free from guilt. We are free from punishment for our sin. Of course, Romans chapter 8, written by Paul, says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Part of my brief, I think, this morning is to remind us that God can pardon your sins. God can free you from guilt. It doesn't matter who you are or what your background is. Nothing is too great for God because Jesus gave his life for you and died for you. And this interpretation, I think, fits well with the context because in verse 19 we read that God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting people's sins against them. You know, you can leave today knowing that God is not counting your sins against you, that you have been set free. So great is this change that comes upon us when the burden is lifted for our sins, that Paul talks about the change and says, you're a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. A remarkable transformation, which I will pick up later on. So, not counting our sins against us. And then, if we then flip right back to verse 14 and 15. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. Talking about a complete change in our life, the death to this egocentric, selfish me. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. I found those words really powerful. But let's think about it. If all this is true about Jesus, how could we go on living for ourselves? Think about it, this great sacrifice. No, we, as Paul says here, we live for him who died for them, died for us, and was raised again. Of course, we mustn't forget that following the crucifixion of Jesus, Jesus was raised and, of course, then ascended into heaven and, for example, prays at the right hand of God for us right here, right now. How can we live for ourselves with such a wonderful Saviour? That's a pretty good motivation for being an ambassador. And it's convincing to me. And I hope you too will be convinced about what Jesus has done. Let me read you something about the transformation that God yields and produces in our lives. So old opinions, views, plans, desires, principles and affections have passed away. We've died to all that, replaced by new views of truth, new principles, new feelings and purposes that fill and govern the soul. Let's move on. The second thing that qualifies us for being an ambassador for Jesus is found in that verse that I've already mentioned twice, so a third time won't hurt. For Christ's love compels us. See, our motive isn't like personal gain or for what we receive. It isn't backed up by a few legions of force. It actually isn't about our love for him first of all. It all starts with his love for us. His love for us. It was the governing influence that controlled the whole of Paul's life. He, of course, this letter is written, so I would guess something like 20 years after the moment where he became a Christian, and yet he is still saying, Christ's love compels me every day. It certainly is an antidote to the living in a way of like a cold sense of duty can be and can affect us sometimes. Let's think about Paul's life. Of course, he was an angry and violent man who went about trying to wipe out the Christian faith and the Christians there. And on the road to Damascus, he was going there to try and winkle out a few Christians and drag them back to Jerusalem, having just seen Stephen martyred for his Christian faith. And yet God stepped in. And he had that vision, Acts chapter 9, he had the vision of Jesus speaking to him, asking him why he was acting in that way. And from that moment on, of course, he was visually blinded. And then, of course, after Ananias came and prayed for him, it says the scales fell from his eyes, as if it were scales on his eyes. And he saw again visually. And of course, he saw again the risen, in his own life, the risen Christ. The scales fell away. I love that. That's such a picture of what it's like to suddenly realize who Jesus is and how much he loves. No wonder Paul was compelled. But he never forgot his sort of background. In 1 Corinthians, written a couple of years beforehand, he says this about himself: "For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God." Yet, amazing grace, this wretch of a man grew to know the love of God and was compelled by that love. You know, we sing songs, don't we? That wonderful hymn, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I'm sure those are words, if Paul was here today, would be singing that hymn powerfully. The grace of God, that love to the undeserved, freely given by our loving Heavenly Father and freely won by Jesus for us in his sacrifice. So I want to ask the question, would you say that his love is the governing principle of your life as well as Paul's? That is his love my governing principle, that I live to serve him every day of my life? Let me just go through my points here. One song I particularly love is this one here, Reckless Love, which we're going to sing in a moment. It just sort of, for me, sums up the amazing love of God and how crazy it is that God would do that for me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, and leaves the 99. And I couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. I think one of the things that would be good today is to respond to that love, which we'll give you opportunity to in a few minutes. Okay, so finally, if our ambassadors are convinced by the gospel, if we are compelled by the love of Christ, then we are called to be convincers of others. We convince others through our words and through our love for him and our love for people around us. Verse 20 says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us." You know, God makes his appeal through us, not just when we talk about Jesus, but when we meet with people, when we show kindness, when we show consideration. And Paul uses the word reconciled. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Reconciliation is a beautiful word. There are lots of different definitions out on that, but I found one definition that really I thought was lovely. Reconciliation speaks of friendship and harmony with God. It's not just about having our sins forgiven, though that is everything to us. Yet God brings us, calls us friends, and brings harmony where we had turned our back on him. Oh, the overwhelming, reckless love of God. So we are called to be ambassadors, compelled by love. I love this quote of Bishop Tom Wright. I've tried to put some logic into the gospel message, but he writes this, that there's something better than the cold logic of a preacher like me. The logic of love outweighs all other logic known to the human race. There is nothing that transforms like love, and we are ambassadors of that love as well as receivers of that love. So we are ambassadors to our families, to friends, to people at work. When we meet people in any context, we bring the ambassadorship of Jesus to bear. I'd like to share one area where I've started to make a change in my own life, and it was in response, really, to Helen's sermon on the aroma of Christ a few weeks back. And as I reflected on her call to be to bring the aroma of Christ to our front lines, I started to think about my own life and how much time I sometimes spend with people. For me, particularly those at work. See, I'm a school teacher, and break times are work times, and lunch times are work times. And I never stop to talk, but more importantly, I never stop to listen to people. And I have tried to change my routine so that these are times when people gather, I am going to be there to listen, to laugh, to share our joys, to share our concerns, and to be a support in any way that I can. Yes, it means that sometimes I'm not talking about Jesus, but I am seeking not to be a big talker about Jesus. I am seeking to be a carer for people, and to be with them and to show the love of Christ through my words and actions. And for sure there will be opportunities to talk about what motivates me, but it's something I'm working on, but it's something I'm very deliberate now, that I want to be there for people when busyness took me away from them. I also felt as I was preparing this that God was calling some of us to take with great seriousness, those young people that we have an influence on. It is part of my way of thinking, but I was reminded of Timothy. Who were the ambassadors for Timothy? The guy who worked with Paul and is, I think, mentioned at the beginning of 2 Corinthians there. Well, it was his grandmother, Lois, wasn't it? She's mentioned in 2 Timothy 1, and his mother, Eunice. They were the influencers, they were the ambassadors, and Timothy was one of the great helpers of Paul in his ministry across that part of the world. And I felt God say, pray for your relatives. Pray, if you're a godparent to anyone, pray for them. You are an ambassador for them. For nieces and nephews or acquaintances with family, be an ambassador. I sort of feel, I have one grandson, I love him to bits, but I've carried with me the feeling that I have an important part to play in his life. Whatever that works out to be, I don't know. But I take the ambassadorship of Christ to my grandson really seriously. And I felt that as I thought about that, that would be one encouragement. Anyway, to conclude, I'm going to go backwards on my 3 points here. So I would like to encourage you to reach out to others who are just like you and me. You know, people around us, they give off this aura of being invincible and strong, and yet they're just like you and me. We have our worries, we have our concerns, we carry our burdens. Let us show the caring love of Christ to all that we meet and have time to listen to them. Secondly, to think back to our love of Jesus, shall we? I'd like to invite you with me to renew our response to the love of Jesus, which we will do through our singing. Don't let cold formality rule your life. Let God warm up your heart to the love of Jesus. And finally, I'd like to say, now is the time of God's favour. Now is the time for the salvation that God brings. It's good to bring a response to what we've heard. I should say, before I finish with one final illustration, I've been reminded very much about the Lent 2021 booklet, of which we have loads of copies on the back. Because if any of you found your way to the back of the page, you will realise that the first 7 days are reflecting and meditating on God's unconditional love for me. I think that would be a really wonderful practical way to respond to the love of God, to meditate, to think through what the scriptures say. But I want to finish with the illustration I put on my photograph there. You can see a beautiful butterfly emerging from the, what's it, pupae or whatever it is, state. From that, and I'd like to give you an illustration, which we don't want to push too hard, because if you push the imagery too far and base your theology on it, you're likely to go wrong. But the way I like to see it is to think of a little caterpillar and think about the life that the caterpillar has. What does it know? Well, it knows about crawling up stems and finding leaves and munching big holes in them, usually on my plants, I have to say. But that's the world that it knows. It just knows this little world of greenness. Maybe there's something in its DNA that says there's got to be more than this. Maybe it just gets on with the job. But eventually a time comes, a day comes, where the caterpillar has become a fully flown butterfly. And they escape from the surrounding tissues around them, and they hold their wings out to dry, and then they fly out to a brand new world, a completely different world that they've ever known before and could never have imagined it, flying free for the first time. And for the Christian, it's exactly the same. We fly in a world of forgiveness, a world of a new start, a world where we live to serve Jesus with a new heart and a new mind. You know, there are many definitions of being an ambassador, but living to serve Jesus is a pretty good one.
Shall we all stand? Just want to give us some time to just allow God to meet us and to encounter us. These aren't just words. This is about God's love encountering us. I just want to invite you to respond however you might want to respond. It might be that you just simply stay where you are and you just sing of God's love for you and of the cross, as we're going to sing about. Maybe that you want to sit where you are and just pray and just allow God to meet you in that. Maybe that you just want to actually acknowledge that you want to step out with God. You want to step out to be his ambassador at work, as a grandparent, whatever. And actually, maybe, you know, just feel free just to come and stand on this carpet here at the front, opening your hands as a way of saying, God, I'm here and I want you to meet me. Doesn't need anyone to pray with you. We'll pray from afar. It might be that actually you do want someone to pray for you, in which case there'll be prayer ministers here who will be either side who will pray for you, and if you do want that, then go to them. But just respond however you want. But I particularly sense that actually God wants to pour his love into us today. And I just wonder whether there are many of us here who actually know this stuff in our heads and know this passage back to front. But perhaps we don't really feel we've encountered that love in our hearts. And I just particularly pray for you guys, pray for us who feel that, that, you know, God, the Spirit would just encounter us afresh now and just so transform us with his love that actually the being an ambassador, that everything, you know, all just comes naturally because of that. But that God wants to encounter us in our hearts right now. So we're going to sing and just do whatever you need to do. Prayer ministers could come out in a moment and be here and ready. But just respond however you want and encounter his love. Let me pray. Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you come and pour your love into our hearts afresh? You know, would these not just be words in our heads, but would they transform our hearts and compel our lives to follow you? Would we just be convinced, perhaps for the most that we've ever been, that this is all true and therefore that we have to live differently, not for ourselves, but for you? For those who need to know forgiveness this morning, just to know that you've completely dealt with their sin and that you no longer see them as sinful people, Lord, would you meet those of us who need to know that this morning? Just come, Holy Spirit, we pray.
to think of where you're going to be this week. Think of those places you're going to go to where God sends you to be his ambassador. And just I encourage you to ask now, just ask that God would give you a fresh anointing of his love, that as you go to those places, that you would just take with you the aroma of Christ. Perhaps he wants to put on your heart just somebody particularly that he wants you to listen to this week and spend time with. Maybe particularly some of you here are in tough places on your front lines, in your places of work, in your families. Maybe you're facing real resistance. You know, if that's you particularly, just open yourself. Do come for prayer. Or if you just feel, I just want to have an extra blessing of anointing to go out to my front lines this week, just come forward. Let the prayer team pray for you. Just encounter God afresh. But just offer those places that he's called you to be an ambassador to him right now. Some of you might need to go and pick up children because I'm just conscious it's getting quite late. So I'm going to pray a blessing and then we're going to sing our final song. But let's just encourage you to stay around. But if you need to go, go. But just let's hear those words again. You know, for Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God was making his appeal through us. Lord, we say, would you send us out into your world, into your mission field, in this place, in this town, this week, as your ambassadors, filled with your love, overflowing with your love, compelled by your love to live not for ourselves but to live for others. And as we go, may we know your blessing. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen. Let's finish by singing When I Survey. Come for prayer, go and pick up your kids, whatever you need.
Yeah.
We're not going to rush off. You know, if you need to come and stay in this place, just stay doing your own business with God or coming for prayer, then please do. The band will just play quietly in a moment, but the rest of you do feel free when you're ready to go for coffee. And just if there is anyone in here who, you know, this stuff is new to you and you don't yet see yourself as a follower of Jesus, I've got some books, Why Jesus, The Big Welcome, which I would love to give you, love to talk with you, love to pray with you. Catch me at the end, would love to give you those as you go out. But just let's stay, continue letting God minister to you. And then we go out to be Christ's ambassadors in this world. Amen.